Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Well, good morning again. We are at the halfway point of our 12 Powers Reel to Reel series, and what a wonderful break last week with Reverend Paul Roach, right? Yes. How many of you were here for Paul? It was a powerful, powerful lesson and a wonderful workshop, and we are going to have him back. We discovered he likes Taos, so he'll be in the area more, and we'll have him back. It was nice to take a break, and it's nice to dive back into our 12 powers. The 12 powers, as you know, are pretty much the basis of what we teach in Unity. There's nothing dogmatic about them or anything like that, but there are 12 powers that we recognize that every human being, regardless of spiritual path or anything else, has, and they are faith, strength, love, wisdom, power, imagination, understanding, will, order, enthusiasm, elimination, life. So far, we have looked at the power of faith, which is the power to believe, the power of love, which is the power to be loving, strength, which is the power to persevere, wisdom, the power to choose, power, the power to act, imagination, the power to see or to visualize, and today, the power of understanding, which is the ability to know, perceive, comprehend, and spiritually see. Understanding is based on ideas, truths, truth principles, and spiritual law. And all of those are divine in nature. So understanding our spiritual power assures us that God, as that energy that is in, around, and through us, is present and active in all circumstances and all people, regardless of how it may look on the surface. Boy, is that a hard one to remember, right? Sometimes it doesn't look like it on the surface. You know, where is God in this? But we know that underlying all is God or principle. So God is present and active in all circumstances and all people. It's also a deep knowing that all things are working together for the greatest good. You've heard the Bible passage probably quoted as I did growing up. All things work together for good for those who believe, meaning that if you believe in Jesus, it'll work together for good. If not, not so much. But what the original quote was in the language that Jesus spoke was all things work together for good when you believe. Not if, when. Not in a person, but believe in the principles, believe that all things actually are working together for good. So when we look out in the world and we see all the turmoil and all the chaos and all the violence and all the poverty and all the things that you go, how can this be good? There's something churning underneath. And it is working together for good. Now that doesn't mean we say, oh, you're in poverty. Well, it's working together for good. That's not what it means at all. What it means is that these experiences that we have in life are our growth process, are our opportunity to overcome, to solve the problems of, to achieve, to grow and evolve. So it's that deep knowing that regardless of appearances, something is unfolding through that process. The disciple that represents the power of understanding is Thomas. He represents the ability to see beyond appearances to reality. Now, I grew up being taught that his nickname was Doubting Thomas. Anybody else? Because he questioned Jesus after the resurrection. And he said, are you really Jesus? Prove it. I kind of think now that was a bad nickname for him. I think we could change it to Curious Thomas. Or, I am seeking to understand Thomas. He was asking Jesus, show me. Help me to understand. So often, what we see is based on our awareness. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means we see what we are aware of around us. And what we are aware of around us is based on what we focus our attention on. Thomas, his awareness was that if you crucify somebody, they're going to die. It wasn't in his awareness yet that life can overcome all things. What we see is also based on our education, what we are taught growing up. And that can be either very freeing or very limiting. It's based on our curiosity. Are we able to be open and see that which is not seen? Are we curious enough to wonder if maybe there's more to something than what we're seeing? If possibly there's more going on than we are actually aware of? Winifred Wilkinson Houseman, in her book, Your God-Given Potential, wrote, "Understanding is important in developing our spiritual nature because it is the faculty which puts feet under our prayers and gives our spiritual activity something to stand on." Think about that. It puts feet under our prayers. We can say a prayer and speak the words, and I've seen this often. I've done it myself. Oh, God, I am prosperous and whole. Oh, God, I am so poor and tired and sore. Understanding says, that's what this may be experiencing in the moment. But my prayer puts me in the understanding that that's not my reality. It's my current experience, but not my reality. Not reality with a capital R. Winifred goes on to write, "Blind faith, faith without understanding of spiritual law, may get results on occasion, but our spiritual growth demands a base that is more dependable, more grounded in spiritual truth." He writes, "Thomas is the disciple who represents understanding, and a study of his contact with Jesus gives us some insight into the way we must develop our own ability to think and to learn to make deductions and conclusions so that we may awaken to the spiritual qualities within us." Thomas didn't always have spiritual understanding, but he had a desire to learn. He didn't mind asking questions. He wasn't afraid to ask. He wasn't afraid to say, "I don't understand, show me." Thomas is probably best noting, as I said, for doubting the news of the resurrection and wanted to understand it firsthand. So the awakening of our own faculty of understanding starts with questioning. Questioning. And what do we question? We question our old ways of thinking. Things we may have taken for granted. The desire for understanding leads us to think about what is learned and what is not yet known, what is not yet understood, and putting it all together to constantly be changing and rebuilding and reimagining our basis for life. Charles Fillmore defined wisdom as intuitive knowing, spiritual intuition. So to go a little further, he said, understanding is the ability of the mind to apprehend and realize the laws of thought and the relation of ideas one to another. A more simpler way to put it is, wisdom knows, understanding knows why. Wisdom knows, understanding knows why. It sees the relationship between the parts of the universe. In the book Power Up, it says, understanding works with wisdom and love. It focuses on what we know and our ability to put that information into proper context, to connect all of the pieces. You know, so often in life, and especially in our modern world with social media and little sound bites and memes and things like that, we don't connect the pieces. It's becoming a lost art to see the big picture, to see how everything fits together. But when we can do that, we begin to see that, yes, all things really are working together for good. And you could translate for good to for evolution, for growth, for awakening. So wisdom is about knowing how to actually use the information in practical and productive ways. Wisdom is the knowledge with the ability to use it so that it has bearing on our personal lives and activities. And understanding is gained when we base that wisdom on divine ideas, divine principles and laws. So understanding is the ability to comprehend the laws of thought as well as the relation of divine ideas to one another. Which brings us to our movie, The Legend of Bagger Vance. How many of you have seen it? Not that many of this one. I had not seen it till last week either. And as I sat there watching the movie, I began to have this feeling that I know the story. I never saw the movie, but there was something familiar about the story. And the protagonist's name in the story is Rudo Juna. And Bagger Vance, of course, is the caddy. Rudo Juna is the golfer. And I didn't put it together until later in the movie when they were having the golf tournament, which I'll give you the basic plot in a few minutes. And they're holding up a sign with their names. It has the first letter of their first name and their last name. And Rudo Juna was R. Juna. Oh, it's the Bhagavad Gita. The movie is actually a modern telling of one of the most ancient epic poems ever written. And I went, wow, this has a whole new meaning. This takes it to a whole different movie. Not a movie about life, about golf. It's a movie about life, because that's what the Bhagavad Gita is. Now, the Bhagavad Gita is an Indian epic that is part of a greater epic called the Mahabharata. It's right smack in the middle of it. And as I said, The Legend of Bagger Vance is a retelling of this story. In the Mahabharata, Arjuna represents the Christ within, represents spirit. I'm sorry, that's Krishna. Arjuna is us with the Christ within. But Arjuna is a human being. And he has been told he must fight a war against his stepbrothers and cousins who are trying to take his inheritance, trying to take over his kingdom and all of the possessions. It is a righteous war, for he and his brothers are the heirs to the kingdom, not his cousins and stepbrothers. So he's out there in front of all the armies, both his and the opposing armies, in his chariot, and he refuses to fight. He says, "War is futile. It would be better to die than fight my own family." And so his charioteer, Lord Krishna, which that's what represents the Christ. Krishna comes from the same root word, by the way, Krishna and Christ, an incarnation of God, has him park the chariot. And he gives him this very, very, very long epic poem lecture about how he should put aside his doubts, do his duty, and fight the good fight. But what it actually is a metaphor. Not fight a war where you kill and maim. It's a metaphor for overcoming adversity, which is made very clear as it goes along. Of course, it takes him this entire book to explain why he must do that and why it's a good thing to do. It involves helping Juna understand who he really is in the movie and in the book. So Bagger Vance shows up, and by the way, the name Bagger Vance is a play on the word Bhagavan, or guide, spirit guide. And Bagger Vance shows up and spends the movie explaining to Juna who he really is, who God is, and what the nature of reality is without ever using most of those words, which makes it perfect for spiritual understanding. Along the way, in both the Bhagavad Gita and the movie, we find out how to find peace in the midst of action and to discover our true nature. Our true nature is our spiritual nature. So the Bhagavad Gita explains how to find union with God in the midst of daily life, in the midst of all these challenges and all these activities and all the distractions. And the legend of Bagger Vance gives a very real restatement of how to live a truly authentic life and how to play golf. The game is actually life. Golf is the metaphor for life. There's so much metaphor in this movie, it is truly amazing. So here's a little bit more of a foundation for the movie, the plot. The hero is Ranulf Juna, or Arjuna, and it's the very beginning of the Great Depression. Now, Juna grew up in this small town in Georgia, and he moved to Savannah. He becomes a golf champion at a very young age. He's on the rise. He's becoming known in the golf world. He's the hometown hero. And then World War I breaks out. And the city elders and all of them say, oh, you're our hometown hero. You should go over to Europe and become a hero in the war. Isn't it amazing how old men send our younger people to war? Well, we know what Yoda said about that. Wars not make one great. But anyway, he goes over to Europe to fight in World War I, expecting to come home, this hero and everything. And he's traumatized in the war. He forgets who he is. He becomes an alcoholic. He finally shows up years later in the town, a war-weary veteran. And he's almost unknown. Most people don't even realize he's back. In the meantime, his former girlfriend, her father has built this beautiful golf course in the 1920s to put this town on the map. It was Savannah, by the way. Put the town on the map, get it known in the world. And then the Great Depression hit. And her father is in despair and commits suicide, and she is left with the golf course. And the city elders, the same one that sent Juno over to Europe, are telling her, give us the golf course. You can't possibly run it. You're a woman. What do you know? And she kind of looks at him and says, no. Strength. He says, no. I have an idea. I'm going to hold a golf tournament. The prize is going to be $10,000. And I'm going to invite the two greatest golfers in the United States to come. I lost their names here. Anyway, I'll tell you their names when I find them. Bobby Jones was one. The other one will come. Tom Hagen. Tom Hagen is the other one. So the town fathers say, well, that's great, but nobody's going to come to this. It's the Great Depression. People can't afford to travel. Even in our own town, people will not be able to afford to attend. And she says, then we must have a hometown hero in the golf tournament. Now, she knows that Juna has returned. And so she seeks him out at a bar. He's drunk. And she convinces him that he's got to play in this golf tournament. He has not touched a golf club in all those years. And he says, no, I can't do that. That's not even possible. But he finally convinces him. And so the next scene is he's out there hitting golf balls in the middle of the night, still a little drunk and hungover and really struggling with it. And out of the darkness, Will Smith shows up, Bagger Vance. And he says, find your swing. Find your swing. And so they talk for a few moments, and I'll get more into what they talk about. When I find it. Got ahead of myself. Here it is. He says, the trick is you have to find your swing. You think you lost your swing. So we got to go find it. It's got to be here somewhere in the harmony of all that is and all that was. Listen to that line. It's here somewhere in the harmony of all that is and all that was. Just like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. So Ranulf tries to escape by running away, but they catch him as he's trying to leave and force him to play. Now, there's another little child in the movie. Hardy Graves is his name. Interesting name as well. He's probably about 10 years old. And at the beginning of the movie, he's an old man having his fifth heart attack alone on the golf course. And he has the heart attack, he collapses to the ground, and he's laying there and having this memory of this golf tournament that he was a part of. So he's remembering Bagger Vance. He's remembering Runoff and all of the others. And he was the ball boy that carried the golf balls and stuff for our hero. Bagger Vance was the caddy. So we have Juna playing these two great masters of the game. And at one point, Hardy, the little boy, asked Bagger, can he possibly win? Look at him. He's hacking at the ball. He doesn't know what he's doing anymore. He's lost his swing. And Bagger says to him, if he can find his authentic swing, he could win. For inside each and every one of us is one true authentic swing. Something we was born with. Something that is ours and ours alone. Something that cannot be taught to you or learned. Something that has to be remembered. Over time, the world can rob us of that swing, as what happened to Juna. It gets buried inside of us under all of the wouldas, shouldas, and couldas. And some folk even forget what their swing was, but you gotta keep swinging. Gradually, Bagger begins to understand the importance of realizing our authentic swing, or as we would say, who we truly are. So when I say authentic swing, translated as to who I truly am. Who I truly am. When we forget, that's when we experience frustration. That's when we feel resignation or cynicism. It's interesting that when Robert Redford was interviewed, he was the writer and producer, was interviewed about his motivation for, and director for directing the movie, he said, I am hoping that this will be an antidote for the increasing cynicism in our society. That in watching the movie, we will remember who we truly are and the importance of making our own unique contribution. So back to the movie, at some point, the townspeople are all coming back up to Bagger Vance because he's giving Juna this weird advice. Now, these people are all on the sideline, but they are all experts in golf, even though most of them have never golfed. And they're all coming up to Bagger Vance saying, what's this advice you're giving? What is your strategy? And he says, oh, y'all want to know what my strategy is? Well, right now my player is a little confused about who he is. You see, he still thinks he's Runoff Juna. And what he was trying to explain to Juna was, and I quote, that the Juna you was, you ain't never going to be again. True for all of us. The person we were years ago, or even a few minutes ago, we ain't never going to be again. So throughout the movie, we see glimpses of who Juna really is. And we learn this great lesson along with him, that it's time to let go of the way he used to be. How many of us have learned that lesson? How many of us have learned to let go of what was? Let go of something we're holding on to. Are we holding on to a job or a relationship or the way we've always done things because that's the way we've always done things? Because that's the way we've always been? In releasing that, letting it go, finding our one true swing, we can show up as who we truly are. We become a different person. So we begin to see glimpses of an uncynical Juna. At one point, the little Hardy, the little boy, is complaining to Bagger Vance and Juna. He says, my dad is a street sweeper. He used to own a business. And now, because of the depression, he's sweeping the streets to make a living. And it's embarrassing. Everybody can see him. Me and my friends and everybody, he says. And Juna says to him, this is where Juna is beginning to have an awakening. Juna says to him, you're feeling sorry for yourself, Hardy, because your daddy got to sweep streets. And he says, but he's not the only man who can't get work. Charles' daddy, can't get work neither. But he says he would rather do nothing at all than something that's beneath his dignity. And Runoff says to him, grow up, Hardy. And Hardy's response is, it ain't time for me to grow up yet, Mr. Juna. But Juna goes on to explain to him. He says, Your daddy is out sweeping streets because he took every last dime he had and used it to pay off every man and woman he owed and every business who worked for him instead of declaring bankruptcy like everybody else in this town, including your best friend Wilbur Charles's dad, which is why Wilbur Charles's dad is able to sit around all day long on his dignity. And this line, your daddy stared adversity in the eye, Hardy, and beat it back with a broom. That line is the turning point in the movie. That's the line when Arjuna hears himself. And he begins to awaken and rediscover his true self. He understands the truth of what dignity really is. And Bagger understands the truth of life, the field. The golf field, the field of battle, the field of life. So that's a synopsis of the movie. And now I'd like to show the clip from the movie. Guys, you ready? Find a squirrel, finds an acorn once in a while. There will always be those who doubt, who tell you you can't do it. Well, in the movie, the rest of the afternoon of that tournament is a blur for Juno. And he keeps asking question after question of Bagger about the field. While Bagger just acts like, nothing much has really happened, and just keeps making remarks about how much Hagen's socks must have cost or how long it takes to dry tobacco leaves before they make a good smoke. But somehow, in the middle of it, we notice that Juna is playing golf. Once he got a taste of what the field was, he was in the zone. But he was also full of questions. He wanted to know more. He was seeking understanding. He wanted to understand what life was. You know, one of my favorite lines from that little speech is, you've got to look with soft eyes. See the place where the tides and the seasons and the turning of the earth all come together, where everything becomes one. Reminded me of a quote by Rabbi Rami Shapiro, who says, I believe there is no path to God. A path to God implies that God resides somewhere out there and that getting there takes time as you move from where you are to where God is. To borrow from St. Paul, he goes on to say, God is that in which you live, move, and have your being. In this very moment, for me, the key is not to walk a path toward God, but to be still and know God, to know that God is already here in you, with you, and as you. Now, there's a point in the movie where Juna has just been kicking this golf ball. I mean, just, it's amazing how he's been playing. And people are getting excited. More and more people are coming to it. And girls are chasing him for autographs. And everybody's congratulating. What happens? We go through this too. He gets distracted. He stops listening and decides, well, I know it all now. I understand it all now. And then he starts playing bad. He hits the ball into the water. He hits the ball into the sand trap. And then he hits it into the woods. He goes into the woods to try to find it, and he's walking through there, and he has a flashback to a battle in the First World War. It's triggering him, the past. And he collapses, and Bagger shows up behind him, and he looks up at Bagger and says, I can't do this. And Bagger says to him, what I'm talking about here, Juna, is a game. And it's a game you can't win. It's a game you can only play. Juna says, but you don't understand, Bagger. How many of us have ever said, but you don't know how bad it is? Like my daughter used to say, you don't even know, Dad. Bagger replies, I don't need to understand, Juna, because there ain't a soul on this entire earth that ain't got a burden to carry. You don't understand. You ain't alone in that, but you've been carrying in this one long enough, Juna. It's time to lay it down. It's time to go on and lay it down. And Juna in despair says, I don't know how. And Bagger says to him, you got a choice. You can stop or you can start. You can start walking right back to where you was, right back to where you've always been, and then stand there. And be still. And then, remember. Remember. You can walk back to where you was and your negative experiences, or you can walk back to where you've always been, in truth, in life, in prosperity, and you can remember. Juna says, it's been too long, Bagger, I can't do it. But Bagger has a keen understanding of time, and he says, no, sir, it was just a moment ago. Because he recognized that when we have a memory, the memory may be of something that took place in the past, but because we're having the memory, it's now. It's now. There is no past. It's right now. And so Bagger says to him, it's time for you to come out of the shadows, Juna. It's time for you to choose. And Juna says, I just can't. How many times have we had this conversation with Spirit? I can't do this. I just can't do it. Bagger says to him, yes, you can, Juna. And you ain't alone because I'm right here with you and I've been here all along. Now play the game. Play your game, the one that only you was meant to play, the one that was given to you when you was born. Take the stance and strike the ball, Juna. Don't hold back. Give it everything. Let yourself remember your swing. It's time. And Juna hits the ball, and it's a perfect shot. Now, Bagger at this sees this, and Juna is now swinging his swing. He's put all of that, let all of that go, and he's in the moment. He's in the life. He's doing it. And Bagger realizes his job is done. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna realizes at a point that his job is done. We've all heard that old saying that some people are in your life for a day, some for a month, some for a year, some for a season, some for a lifetime. And understanding and wisdom help us recognize that. And Bagger knew that once Juna had found his authentic self, his authentic swing, he could move on. You know, we hear all throughout this movie from many of the different characters, it's only a game. It's only a game. And we may not know if we really believe them. But it is Bagger who elaborates and says, what I'm talking about is a game that cannot be won, but only played. That's understanding life. As the movie and the story unfold, we realize he's not talking about golf. He's talking about life, our lives. And no one wins at the game of life, or more accurately, no one gets out of it alive, at least not yet. And we can see that as either bad news or good news. We can see it as freedom or bondage. But the true lesson of spiritual understanding is that we are born into flesh so that we can play the game, so that we can find our swing. And at one point, we will return to spirit. In the movie, Hardy Graves finishes telling his story, and then he's back and laying in the grass as an old man. And he gets up, and he kind of looks around like, have I been dreaming? And he stands up, and he sees Bagger Vance standing at the end of the fairway. And Bagger is waving at him. Come home. It's time to come home. And we see him walking off the field. Spiritual understanding understands that it's a game that no one wins, but we're here to play it. Interestingly enough, at the end of the golf tournament, all three players are tied. Nobody wins. They all came to play. And Hardy, as he's walking along with Bagger Vance, carrying his gloves, and he says, I went here to find my place in the field. Find my place in the field. Do you know where your place in the field is? Are you playing your game to the fullest? Because no matter where you are on life's journey, if you're here, you're in the game. You're playing. It ain't over. So play the game, and you will understand, and you will discover what the power of understanding is. Play the game.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.